It is what it is, I guess. It's cold, and it's not ideal for most people, but it's what we got right now, right? And it's just a day-to-day thing. It's gotten a lot better since the start, right?
Than what we started out with. You've been here 4 years. Do you see yourself staying here?
I'm going to be here for a bit more yet, yeah. Yep. Unfortunately, I never really pictured my life taking this turn, but I guess this is maybe where I have to work for a while. Maybe there's a bit of a calling for me to help other people.
Right.
With the way I live my life, maybe I can do some good by helping some change in some ways, right? And it seems like that's the direction it's taken, so.
Right. Do you mind talking about how you got here?
I moved to Vancouver when I was 12 years old when I first moved here. My family left me here. I was ended up on the streets homeless. That was in Richmond. I grew up there. I moved back to Calgary for a few years. Came back here again when my daughter turned 18. Because basically the court took my daughter away because I was, using drugs and was just on the street and homeless. I had no way of having a kid when I was 17 anyway. But now once the court said I couldn't see her until I was 18 and... Or until she was 18, and when she turned 18, she wanted me to come back. So I always promised her that I would come back home as soon as if she called me. And so the day of Rachel's birthday, I got a phone call, and I said, "Does it mean you want me to come back?" And she said, "Yeah." So I was here 24 hours later, and I actually gave up drugs and quit cold turkey that same day. And it wasn't until a few years ago that I started using again. That's no excuse, but now my daughter lives in New Zealand.
Right.
But brought me here is just like everybody's got a story, but it's just a life of. I didn't grow up in a family that had anything. It was grew up poor and just it just goes on year after year, right? Like when you're raised in a family that doesn't have anything, it's hard to get anywhere, right? Or hard to see a way out. I mean, there are ways out though, and it just takes a little bit of work, but it's just hard to see those avenues sometimes, right? And then mental problems are a bit of an issue too, right? Like a lot of us tend to have. Things like everything from seasonal affective disorder to bipolar, like I have bipolar issues and things like that. So sometimes holding employment isn't, I try my best to work as much as I can, right?
Yep.
Like I like to consider myself a working man, not a criminal, right? Like I haven't been in any trouble with the law for almost 20 years now, so that's good. But it's sometimes holding a job and getting to work constantly regular for me are a bit of a hassle and whatnot. An issue is just that my mental state is so up and down that that's what I ended up in these situations. The last place I had, I ended up in an argument with the landlord just because I can't even remember what it was about. It was probably about some stupid issue I was having that the neighbors in the fourplex didn't like me, and he ended up evicting me. And it just turns bad for me with a lot of my social interactions, so that's why I end up in places like this. Right. And everybody else has got their story, but that's mine, right? I've always had a problem interacting socially, and I guess what I mean. Like for me, this has been a benefit for me because I've learned how to start interacting with the public and socializing with people, so it's helped me greatly actually in that way.
Does this feel like home for you?
At the moment, yeah, it actually does. I mean, maybe it is, right? Maybe some of us are just, maybe this is what some of us don't need. Maybe some of us don't need a big white, big house and a white picket fence and two and a half kids and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Some of us might just not be made for that kind of life, right?
Like, yes.
And so, in some ways, it does. I mean, there's good and bad days, right? Like today's a good one. Some are bad, right? Some are depressing. It's just, But for now, it does, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for talking to me today, Clint. I really appreciate you taking the time. And, I think it's an important that the larger community hears your voices.
Yeah, exactly.
Your own voices, not just, everybody talking about you.
Yeah,
so thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
That was Clint Brandon. He is a camp resident at the Crab Park Encampment and also a leader and advocate for the camp community there. That interview was done just before Christmas by me, Magnus Thiebald, right on the shores of Burrard Inlet at the Crab Park Encampment. I want to thank Fiona York for her assistance in helping to set this up. We've been covering the homeless here with here at CJSF for a number of years, and we're going to keep talking to advocates for the homeless, advocates for the camp, and residents as themselves. It's always important to get to the voice of those who are most affected by homelessness, and that is the homeless themselves.
He could be 30. He could be 50. Life has aged him beyond his years. A shopping cart carries everything he owns. Here he comes, toward you. What you think you know about how he got here is probably wrong. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. For most birds, keen eyesight is absolutely critical for finding food, spotting predators, and generally staying alive. But many birds lead lives that could be very hard on the eyes, like flying at breakneck speed, racing for cover into a dense thicket, or diving underwater to catch a spiny, struggling fish. Fortunately, birds have evolved a structure for protecting their eyes. Like humans, they have upper and lower outer eyelids. But beneath the outer eyelids lies an extra eyelid called the nictitating membrane. Nictitating, for all its alliterative syllables, simply means blinking. This extra eyelid is hinged on the inner side of the eye and sweeps horizontally across the cornea. The nictitating membrane is largely transparent, and it helps keep the eye moist and clean while guarding it from wind, dust, and hazards. Birds aren't the only animals gifted with nature's goggles. Reptiles and some mammals have the extra eyelid, too. A polar bear's nictitating membrane helps protect its eyes against the intense glare of Arctic light, preventing snow blindness. Nature's goggles become nature's sunglasses. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
Something curious, something cultural, something unserious, sometimes serious, something mundane, something every day, though not even really that. Tune into Typically Tuesdays, airing every Monday, you heard that right, Monday, from 3 to 4 p.m., your hour of quasi-cerebral talk and tunes.
Kay Park was an intern with us here at CJSF Radio earlier this fall. She was visiting from Korea to improve her English and had the opportunity to do a six-week internship with us. And we gave her a chance to do a whole bunch of fun radio stuff. She hosted a radio show and did a bunch of interviews for us and some Streeter interviews and whatnot. This is a profile of Filipino community group Gabriela BC. That she did as part of her internship.
Hello and welcome.
You go by Kay. I know you put your Korean name. I just wanted to know what you preferred.
Yeah, my name is, actually my Korean name is Sungyong Park, but I have an English name, Kay. Mm. So you can just call me Kay, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's start. Thank you for joining us, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mackie. I've been a part of Gabriela BC, I believe, 5 years now, which I can't believe, but I've been part of Gabriela BC since a little before we launched in 2019.
Wow, that's nice. Nice to meet you, Mackie.
Nice to meet you, too.
To start, could you provide a brief overview of what Gabriela BC is and its primary mission?
Yeah, so Gabriela BC is actually an overseas chapter of Gabriela Philippines, which is actually a grassroots-based alliance of more than 200 organizations and institutions of women and LGBTQ+ people in the Philippines as well as abroad. So we seek to wage struggle for the liberation of all oppressed Filipinos, as well as those who identify as women and part of the LGBTQ plus community. So our goal is basically linking women's struggles to the overall struggle against exploitation and oppression, and also understanding the specific experiences of gender-based violence linked to the overall exploitative society.
Thank you for the concise overview. Guerrilla VC's mission is truly impactful. Now, moving on to the next topic, what led to the establishment of Guerrilla VC?
So Guerrilla VC started off as the Migrante Women's Organizing Committee. So there's a local National Democratic Organization, and I'll maybe talk about that later, about what it means to be part of the National Democratic Movement. But they focus on the migrant sector, and they found that there is a need to specifically have a National Democratic Organization focus on women and LGBTQ plus people. So we started as an organizing committee, and we officially launched in May of 2019, and we had the honor of Connie Ledesma, esteemed and famous kind of revolutionary and activist in the Philippines, and now does work for the National Democratic Front of the Philippines in the Netherlands. So yeah, we launched in 2019 and basically have been organizing the Filipino community here, but also showing solidarity to the Philippines and the struggles against the basically three basic problems, which is imperialism, feudalism, and bureaucratic capitalism. And actually had the lucky chance to actually go to the Gabriela National Congress in Manila in 2019, where activists and organizations from all around the world and across the Philippines gathered. So yeah.
Wow, that's an insightful overview of Guerrilla VC's origins and focus. Now, let's shift our focus to the main goal. Could you share the main goal that Guerrilla VC aims to achieve in its advocacy work?
Yeah, so like I mentioned before, I said we are part of the National Democratic Movement. So the National Democratic Movement is the solution to kind of the problems that are plaguing the Philippines. National meaning fighting against imperialist forces like the U.S. or other imperialist forces, as well as democracy, since the Philippines is mainly comprised of peasants, 75%. We struggle for land for the peasants, as well as against fascism. So that is kind of like our main advocacy goal or analysis. We kind of really connect the issues of why Filipino people are here, why Filipino women have moved to Canada or anywhere abroad for a better life. Connecting, you know, kind of the local issues of, you know, why we're here or the things that we have faced as Filipino women, whether that be family separation, having to send money back home, you know, abuse that we face here, and connecting it to why, you know, thousands of Filipinos leave the country every single day to come here. Because you would think that if a country actually was able to sustain your livelihood, you wouldn't have to move abroad.
I see. Your explanation of Guerrilla VC's main goal is compelling. Now, let me step into our next segment. How does Guerrilla VC make a positive impact on the lives of Filipino women?
So locally, we have done, you know, different educational discussions and events really highlighting, you know, why Filipino women come here, giving history in terms of like why the history of the Philippines is, you know, economically we're not, you know, able to sustain ourselves, or why we can't find jobs and we have to leave the country every single day. to bring basically that awareness and political consciousness. And then globally, we talk about, you know, showing solidarity to activists in the Philippines. It is very dangerous to be an activist in the Philippines, and even let alone, you know, speaking out against the government in a negative light. So we have done things like, you know, calling for the release of women political prisoners, you know, standing in solidarity with right-tag activists by making statements, as well as, you know, highlighting, you know, the atrocities that U.S. imperialism has caused, you know, the Filipino people and Filipino women, by highlighting the case of Jennifer Lade, who was a trans woman who was murdered a couple of years ago by a U.S. Marine, or former U.S. Marine. So basically really showing and educating people to build that political power and consciousness, and really exposing why, you know, 6,000 Filipinos have to leave the country every single day to find work abroad.
I think the impact Gabriel Labisi makes is really impressive. Transitioning to our next point, in what ways does Gabriel Labisi engage with the community and raise awareness about its mission and objectives?
Yeah, so we do a lot of educational discussions. Some of them are on the realities of Filipino migration, talking about the root causes of why we migrate, and why the vast majority of it has been historically, you know, Filipino women specifically, that in Canada through, you know, the now different names, but the former Living Caregiver Program or domestic worker programs, or even if we think about the amount of Filipino women who are care aides or nurses here. And so we do other educational discussions on like history, like Filipino society and revolution, that kind of breaks down the history of the Philippines, the problems that the Philippines is facing and the solutions towards that. We also do, you know, campaigns. We have currently right now the anti-fascist campaign, really highlighting Filipino women and activists who have been facing the brunt of fascism by the Philippine government, formerly that of Duterte, now Marcos Jr. Government. So highlighting Adora Faye de Vera, who is a political prisoner and former martial law survivor, who is now arrested again under Marco Sr.'s son, and is facing, you know, dire conditions in her old age in the prison, as well as highlighting queer activists, Ari Soledad, who is part of the Fisher Folk organization, who was and also is a trans woman who has also been fighting for, you know, queer rights as well, but has been faced with red tagging and harassment by the Philippine National Police for speaking up for fisher folks' rights. So we do other fun things as well. We do, you know, karaoke fundraisers as a grassroots organization. We also have to kind of fund our work, as well as, you know, working with some of the other national democratic organizations we have here locally.
Wow. So the work your organization is doing is truly diverse and impressive. Now, let's explore some works the organization did. Could you highlight any specific campaign or initiative that Gabriel Labisi has undertaken to fulfill its mission?
Yeah, I think I mentioned before about the anti-fascist campaign. We have highlighted Adora Faye de Vera and Ari Soledad, and we are still actually raising funds for Adora Faye de Vera as she is in prison, and as she is older, she needs, you know, medication, as well as to help fight her legal battle to basically get her release. And she has been, in general, an outspoken advocate for women's rights throughout her whole entire life, even in the face of being, imprisoned under the martial law era in the 60s and 70s, coming out of that with intense, abuse and torture that she faced, to still continue to work with women and children, and to really use that voice to, help them in, abusive relationships, as well as furthering the women's movement in the Philippines. So we are raising funds for her, but also we would love people to show solidarity, whether or not you're Filipino or not, to show that solidarity that, the world is watching what the Philippine government is doing. Mm-hmm. We also have, like Ari Soledad, as I mentioned, raising awareness of how being as an outspoken activist in the Philippines, you can be red tagged, you can be targeted by the National Task Force to End Communist Local Conflict. So basically, being an activist is a crime, basically, in the Philippines, which is, unfortunate, but hopefully with, international solidarity and bringing awareness here, we can hold, the Philippine government accountable for its crimes. In a more, I guess, lighthearted note, we have a zine called Mothers in the Motherland, where we actually talk to working Filipino mothers here, and, kind of talk about, their struggles coming here and kind of their kind of hopes and dreams about coming here, what it means to be a part of the Filipino community here, since oftentimes working Filipino women or mothers don't really get to have their own voice. And so we are in the midst of releasing two new issues. So definitely keep an eye out on that. But we do have two already published that you can find on our social media.
Your unwavering dedication to this kind of cause is truly inspiring. Thank you for sharing again. And now, let's turn our attention to future works. Like, looking ahead, what are the future plans of Gabriela BC?
Yeah, so we had hosted International Working Women's Day this year, and we had an amazing panel discussion with actually local organizations like Defund 604 Network and Sammy Dune Palestinian Prisoner Network, and also someone from Unite Here Local 40, and we also had a rally as well, and so all of them came out in March, I think a couple days after March 8th, to really talk about the contributions of working women on society, as well as the history of working women and the revolutionary history of us. So we are planning to do something for International Working Women's Day next year. Not sure exactly what it is, but there will be a rally, most likely. So definitely keep an eye out on that. More, I guess recently or coming up, is we're planning to do a panel discussion with a local Palestinian organization, Palestinian Youth Movement, highlighting the contributions of revolutionary women in both the Philippine struggle and the Palestinian struggle, really showing our solidarity with, the Palestinian movement, which we have been doing throughout the years, which is, a very important cause. Not only are we fighting for our liberation as, Filipino women or Filipino people, that we stand in solidarity with other liberation movements and struggles as well. But yeah, keep an eye out. We do educational discussions. We do fundraisers. If you love karaoke, we usually do some sort of karaoke, or any other kind of maybe prisoner letter writing event. Just keep an eye out. We do a bunch of different events throughout the year. Yeah.
Awesome. Your insights into the future plans of Gabriela BC are enlightening. It's evident that the organization has a dynamic vision. And finally, for those who are inspired by your work, how can individuals support or get involved with Gabriela BC's efforts?
Yeah, I think getting it organized is kind of the most concrete thing that you can do to help, you know, whatever struggle or issue that you care about. Obviously, Gabriela BC focuses on women and LGBTQ plus people, but we have other national democratic organizations that people can get involved in if they're interested in. Sulong UBC and Anafrayan BC focus on youth and student sector. We have Migrante BC for migrants and workers. We also have solidarity organizations for non-Filipinos if they would like to show support and stand in solidarity with the Philippine movement. So we have Friends of the Filipino People in Struggle, as well as Canada Philippine Solidarity for Human Rights. But yeah, you know, getting organized is a concrete contribution to basically help, you know, liberate ourselves. And there has been, you know, a long history of Filipino women struggling against exploitation and oppression. And we still can carry that legacy on today so that we can see, you know, the Filipino people being liberated. You can also, if that seems like, you know, a lot that you want to learn, there's also other ways in which you can support. You can donate to us. As a grassroots organization, you know, our events are funded either by our own pocket or by the funds that we raise throughout the year. So you can donate to us at our email, which is info.gabrielabc@gmail.com, or you can follow us on social media at _GabrielaBC as other ways to basically keep up with our work. And if you're interested in supporting us or if you're interested in just getting involved and messaging us and seeing how or and where you would like to go with it. So, yeah.
Wow. It's inspiring to hear about the ways individual can contribute to Gabriela BC's effort. I'm sure the interview was really helpful for our audience to know more about Gabriela BC. And thank you so much for sharing your valuable insights. I really appreciate your time, and it's been a pleasure learning more about the impactful work of Gabriela BC.
Thank you for the interview. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Before we conclude our interview, is there anything else you'd like to share or any message you'd like to convey to our audience?
Yeah, so the struggle for liberation cannot be done without women and LGBTQ plus people, but as well as the struggle for liberation is in the hands of everyone around us. So whether or not you're Filipino, non-Filipino, really, you know, getting involved in building political power and building that collective strength will really help in, you know, seeing the change that you want to see in the world and to see what the future is like as a brighter future, basically. So, yeah.
Thank you for today. Your insights have been truly enlightening, and we appreciate your openness in sharing your experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Kay Park for that interview with Vancouver area Filipino community group Gabriela BC.
Wandering Rhythms, Mondays from noon to 2.
Join us in a weekly sample of music from planet Earth.
The strangest mixtape you will ever hear.
Desert blues.
Balkan punk.
Latin funk.
African psych.
Pigeon rap.
And anything and everything else you can imagine, equally represented by all continents.
Because good music is universal.
Wandering Rhythms.
Mondays at noon on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.